Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Welcome to Real Weddings with Sara. I'm Sara Kennedy from The Isle by Sara Kennedy, one of Ireland's leading sources for wedding inspiration, advice, and support. Real Weddings with Sara brings you an inside scoop of some of Ireland's best loved personalities and celebrity weddings, as well as some stellar wedding advice. Join me as I indulge on all the wedding gossip. Okay, I am joined today by the absolutely fabulous queen of the air fryer, or as she called herself, Yarwon with the air fryer. And I'm joined by Gina Daly of Daily Dish, who I think everybody's going to know because we all have your book in our house because we all need those hacks. You are here. We met backstage at Ireland AM. Yes. And I was going in to talk about weddings and we just started chatting about weddings and you told me your story. And I was actually like, what? You didn't do the 7 to 10 year courtship. And I was blown away by your story. And I just know so many people will love to hear your story. But look, will you bring us back? Because you gave me a great prequel to your engagement story of where you started and how you guys met and then what happened from there on. Go on, give us the full story.
Well, let's go back 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah, well, we're married 17 years. Just the other day.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And we also met 17 years ago.
So that just gives everyone the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So myself and Carl used to work in the same company. And he was in a head office. I was in stores. And we didn't really know each other per se.
Okay. So, but knew of each other maybe.
Yeah. So he was a customer care manager. So I'd have to kind of ring him if there was a customer in the shop, give me hassle and he'd sort it out. So
love
he was
it.
Great like that. And it was just one of those, that type yeah. of thing. And I knew he had a person in his life. I had a person in my life. Everybody had a person in their life. And then I think we met a couple of times, you know, at nights out and different things, but never had a conversation or anything like that. But I remember I was going through a bit of a breakup. And I remember having the chats through email. There was a girl working in head office and her name was Carol. And how's it going? You know, it starts off.
Did you, when you were messaging this other girl called Carol, did you think?
Oh God, no.
No, you thought it was.
Yeah, had no idea. You thought it was two
Carol.
Different people. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I was like, hi, how's it going? Oh, how was your weekend? And, you know, we'd have conversations like that. And then, I went out on a date and not the internet. Girl, didn't work out. And that kind of stuff. And I remember standing in work one day and saying to my boss, I said, that girl up in head office is lovely, Carol. And he's racking his brain. He goes, I don't know any Carol. And I was like, huh? Carol Daly.
Hello. Yeah.
And he says, no, he says, I know Carol Daly, all right. That's the guy. And I was like,
oh no, oh, I'm dying. I'm actually, what were you
Excuse
saying?
Me? Sorry, what
were you
that?
Saying to them?
So anyway, turns out that Carol was Carol.
Carol.
His name is spelled K-A-R-O-L. Born in 1979, the year Pope John Paul came, his original name was Carol. His parents are very religious and didn't want to call him John Paul because
everybody was going to be John Paul.
So they were trying to be a bit different, which I was like, why did you call your son a girl's name? It nearly ruined me. But so it turned out.
I was telling him about my menstrual cycle.
Everything. He knows my whole life. Anyway, I was sick, mortified, turned inside out.
Oh,
and I said, I don't think I can ever look at that man again. So I was like, everything was very casual. Then, you know, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Good
yes.
sir.
Good luck. And I'm sure he was going, she's a psycho because one minute she's really nice, the next minute she's really cold. Anyway, I suppose work just went on. And I remember he came into the job one day and I think he was heading off somewhere and like, no. Carl just happened to be my very type. Gorgeous.
Now tell us explain the type. Explain what that type is.
him, I suppose. I don't know. Like, he was just really handsome. He got like nice spiky hair. He was nice built. He was tall. And he was just, he was really
he was
nice.
A bit of you.
A bit of me. And just a really nice person. And
so you would step forward, you would have stepped forward if it was a Love Island situation. You were
yes.
like, that's him. Okay, right.
But I wasn't sure if he'd
Carol.
step forward for me. See, so that was the issue. And I remember he came into the job and he was chatting away and I was like, God, he's lovely. Like, he's so nice. And I remember going downstairs, checking myself after he left and going, what am I doing? Like,
okay,
this chap wouldn't be interested in me. I had been in a relationship that kind of broke me down a little bit and I didn't have much confidence in myself. And I was always kind of, everything revolved about, around my weight and my size. And my previous person in my life was like, oh, if you want to get married, you have to lose weight.
Well,
so that I was conscious.
People are shit.
Always, yeah. Assholes.
Yeah.
Douchebags. So I was always conscious of myself and never had any faith in myself that anyone like him would like me. So, yeah, found myself checking myself and I was like, oh, God, cop on, Gina. Like, don't be so ridiculous. And that was it. I didn't see him then for a long time, but he was always on my mind.
Yeah.
And I remember, again, we briefly met and he sent me a text message that evening. After we met, I think we was at an event or something. Can't it was that long ago. I can't remember.
Well, look, I can't remember yesterday. Never mind 17 years. So you're excused.
So it was, hey, do you fancy going for a pint? And I remember going, who is this? And I was like, oh, it's Carl. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was due to go to a wedding the next day in Dromoland Castle. And I said, oh my God, what do I do? And I remember ringing Sean, a fella that I used to work with, and Sean was great at giving advice. And I was like, Carl Daly's out there asking me on a date. What do I do? And he goes, don't do it under no circumstances. Don't mix work with pleasure. It'll all end in tears and just don't go there. So I said, no, do you know what? You're dead right. And I hung up the phone, ran upstairs, shaved my legs.
Very presumptuous.
I jumped into the car and I said, you know what? If I don't...
Live and let live.
You have to.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I was stressing out because I knew I had to get up and go to a wedding the next day. But I said, look, we'll go for a quiet drink.
Oh, casual. Yeah.
So I went into town, picked him up where Bambino is now, just at Stephen's Green.
Yes.
And he said, the pubs are packed. He says, do you want to come to my house? And here I was, oh, they're dirty.
Straight in, no messing.
And he said, well, just go and have a drink. And I said, yeah, grand, okay. Drove to Bray and never went home.
Oh my God. So all the way to Bray. Like, it wasn't even like, I live up the road.
Yeah,
like, let's go an hour
I live
here.
In Stony Battery. Yeah. It was like, I live in Bray. I was like,
I'm in another county. Yeah, I love
so,
that.
So yeah, so we had a few drinks. We had a great chat. Look, it was nothing, you know.
No one's here to judge, Gina.
It was what it was.
It was what it was. And so that moment, right, when you met him, you said you came out of a relationship which was absolutely horrible, toxic. You met and you knew each other through work and that was like superficial. Like you saw him, you liked him, but and you knew he was sound because you'd had those emails back and forth. So, you know, he could be on your level, like Carol in admin. So you were able to have that. But was it like at that point that night when you were out of them, did anything click and go, that's it? Like, did you feel that or did it take a few times meeting with them to go?
No, it's funny because I've never... Like, obviously, I was 26 when I met Carl. So
yeah.
I'd had a few relationships and, you know, and obviously I was younger at the time. But if he had said to me there and then, come on, let's jump off on a plane, go to Vegas and get married. Do you know what I describe our relationship as?
Yeah.
We are the real life Clarence and Alabama. Do you ever see True Romance?
Yes, yes, yes.
They
just click.
And it was like,
so you just
we'd forever
molded in,
yeah,
molded
instant.
Into life. Okay,
yeah.
So then what happens next then in your story? So like you've met, you're back in Bray, and then it's back to normality. Like, did it go really intense very quickly, or how did that?
Yeah, so obviously I went to the wedding the next day, dying.
Yeah, get back from Bray as well. Oh,
I arrived as white as a ghost. My plan was to do fake tan, and I arrived and I had like dress hanging out. My friend was like, where were you? You missed the ceremony.
I met my future husband. Relax.
I'm going to get married myself. It's okay. And I was putting on the tan. I got there, I had a great night at the wedding, and I always remember, yeah, it was my best friend, her sister was getting married, so it was the 20th of April, and thinking, God, this is beautiful, like Dromoland Castle, it was such a stunning venue, and I don't know whether this is ever going to...
It's the stuff of romance,
yeah, this
I
is
know.
Never going to happen for me, you know, and 6 months later, I was the one getting married. Like, we always laugh about that.
6 months.
Yeah, so that was April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Sorry, 7 months, November.
Wow.
Yeah.
So take me from that. So you had that whirlwind weekend, you met, that was it. Then straight away, you're in each other's pockets.
No, not really, because we had quite a distance and we were both working. It was a lot of text messaging and a lot of kind of flirting on the phone, and we'd meet on a Wednesday and we'd meet on a Sunday in town.
Okay.
So those brief kind of nights out were...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Just a real buzz, like,
of course, you know, and you were living for that kind of
feeling, like,
of course, the butterflies.
Oh, like almost sickening, and going, oh my God, like, is this real? Like, does he really fancy me? But he had the same feelings for me. So we'd met, like, I think it was a Wednesday, a Wednesday, and then the next Sunday, like, he was telling me, I think I'm really falling for you. I think I possibly might even love you. And I was like, oh, yeah.
You're like, yeah, yeah,
I was
I'm
like,
there 2 weeks ago.
Stop. I love you too.
Stop.
But that's how quick it was. But we just...
You just knew.
We knew. I knew that the first night I met him. And he said, will we go on a holiday? And I said, well, yeah, when? Next year? Like, because that's the type of person I am. Yeah, I have to plan everything. He goes, no, like, let's just book something and go. So we I can't remember what month it was, but we booked to get married in Las Vegas. He says, why don't we just do it?
So hold on, right?
So,
that
escalated
quickly, right? come back to me a bit, right? Because I need to get me... I'm a bit slow, right? So 1 minute you're messaging each other in work. The next thing you're on a date. The next thing you're back in Bray. The next thing you're meeting up Wednesday, Sunday. Then it's, well, we book a holiday, but that holiday is now Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, that escalated quickly.
So we met, it was the 19th of April we met, and then while we were kind of having those few dates, he had to go down to Limerick to work.
Okay.
And I went down to him one night. It was a free hotel.
Happy days. Like, yeah.
Had to work the next day. I was doing an awful lot of running around for this fella.
He'd want the ring.
I should have been charged the mileage.
I know.
And he was like, we'll go out for dinner. And we went to a Tex-Mex restaurant.
And this was in Limerick.
This is in
Very
Limerick.
Fancy.
And I remember I was sitting, we're having food, and I wasn't really kind of very adventurous with food, and fajitas were very adventurous for me. And I was like, I'll have some fajitas. So I was really struggling with them. They were slapping all over the place.
Oh, God, and that is not date food.
But we were okay with each other. Like, we were comfortable enough. And then I just remember he just gets up out of the chair, and I was like, where is he? Where are you going?
Where I'm going.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Sour cream.
And he gets down on one knee, and I was like, no, not here. Not in Limerick.
Not in the Tex-Mex in Limerick.
Why here?
Dromoland is up the road.
So I'm literally like that, going, what's that? And
oh,
I don't
that
like
is
a
lovely.
Scene. I don't like anything like that. And he was like, takes out a ring. And
wow.
He's like, will you marry me? And hear him, oh, corporate. Spitting me chicken out of my mouth.
That's sour cream so did the whole restaurant just start clapping?
In my head it was just silence because it was just me and him.
I get you.
But I'm pretty sure everybody was like, good things, whatever liver accident is.
But did you expect that?
Oh,
that
gosh,
was like,
no.
And did you discuss it? Like, did you know, even in that lead up, there's no, like, I think we're each other's person.
No, I didn't get to hint what my ring would be like. Like that, because
so he just was like, feck this.
That's it.
Time is of the essence.
Yeah.
She's the one and I'm going to do it. And that was what, about 5 months in?
Oh, no, it was a month.
Okay. not here to judge.
We met mid-April and this was kind of mid-May. I think it was the 15th of May, so it probably wasn't even a month.
The feckin' time. Like, you know, it takes like longer to book an appointment to see a GP. Like, do you know, like that is wild.
Yeah.
And
so then we were like, we'll plan a holiday and we were like, oh, look, we're engaged now. Now, obviously, the nerves were to tell our family.
Oh,
Carl is an only child.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he's like, I would, in my head, if I had just one son, I'd want the wedding and the
big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you going to tell your mum? He's like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. So we were both rattling, like telling our
parents. Had you met his parents before this?
Yeah, I'd met his mum and she had given me the once over.
Right. Okay.
I felt.
So you met the cut.
Yeah. And, you know, the nerves and everything else. I just want her to like me. And I'm a nice person. I'm good for her son. And she was so lovely.
Brilliant.
We had a lovely, we got on instantly. And like, even now, 17 years later, like we're so
tight.
Close.
Yeah.
Like that, having a daughter that you didn't have, you know.
Yeah.
So his family were so welcoming. And my family were, because they seen us together.
They knew.
And they knew what I'd
gone
through.
And they saw you, what it looks like when it's not right. So then when they saw you and Carl, they're like, it's right.
Yeah. He was just, there was no, like, it was always holding my hand, kissing me in public. And even, I wasn't used to that. So I would be like, stop that. But don't stop. Just keep going.
You know,
flatter me. So it was really weird. But that's why I think for me, it was just, I felt all these things I'd never felt before and these feelings. And he was just like.
And did you worry about that it was so quick? Did you ever go, God, is it too soon?
No, everybody else did.
Everybody else. And were people ever coming to you going, I don't know, now that's a bit much. Do you not think you should hold off?
Yeah.
And like, did you have that pressure?
My dad my dad passed away 2 years ago. Was such a brilliant person. And the way he always describes everything is just live your life.
Yeah.
And if it feels right, do it. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I remember saying it to him and he's like, I've never seen you so happy. And he was all for it. He was delighted. He goes, whatever makes you happy. I didn't mention that we were going to get married.
And you'd done the Garda background check.
But then when
okay.
Yeah, but this is like the quick relationship. And then I said to him, look, we got engaged in Limerick. And I thought he was going to go, what? And he said, yeah, he says, I think it's right. And if it feels right for you.
And your parents know.
Yeah.
Parents always
My
know.
Sister was over the moon and because they all loved Carl.
Yeah,
So, this trip that we'd planned was, we said, right, we'll go. We booked the little Chapel of Love in Vegas to get married by Elvis. So we did this, we planned this big trip around America on a shoestring. And
amazing.
We said, right, we'll stay in the, because we love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And there's a scene in that where they're in the Circus Hotel.
Yes.
They're on a carousel. It's a rotating bar. And we're like, we have to go here. We just wanted to...
You wanted to live out the entire dream.
Yeah.
And this was your day.
So we stayed in the Circus.
Wow.
Which is like the biggest kiff. It was $50 a night. We're like, woohoo! But to us, it was paradise.
Yeah.
Because it was everything. So we had so much fun. We met such characters and we were like, oh, we're getting married. But the realization then hit me when we were over there. And I said, I think, because I remember my sister saying, you're my only sister and I just wanted to be your bridesmaid. And
it's that outer circle.
Yeah. I'm a caring person. I was thinking about his mom and dad and all of those little things. And I said, we don't have to do it here. I said, why don't we have the wedding it doesn't have to be big, but have it with our friends and family and share our love with them. So he was like, yeah, but we could just do it anyway. And I said, no, because it just won't feel the same. It didn't feel the same for me. I said, maybe if we do that and then go back to America and do an anniversary or something like that. Yeah. So we decided not to do the Chapel of Love.
Oh, I would have loved those pictures.
I know. But we're going to do it for our anniversary, our 20 year anniversary.
Love it. Yeah.
So when we told our family and friends, look, we're going to have a wedding, and they were absolutely thrilled, delighted. Yes. So we went home and just started planning it straight away. So we didn't.
And it was an Irish wedding then.
An Irish wedding.
And you, so when you decided, right, so the heartstrings really pulled, because I know a lot of people get really, really, I suppose there's three conundrums. There's like, will we elope because they don't want the stress and there's all of that. And people love the idea of Vegas. And then there's the piece of like, well, do we go abroad and do a, you know, Portugal wedding, or do we stay home? And trying to come to what it should be. But you just seem to have followed your heart. Every single part of this story is just like, we just went with how I felt.
Just
went. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. And like the whole Vegas thing, like that, I think we just wanted to be married.
Yeah.
Like we didn't want to wait. Because I was like, oh, you have to wait. And how long will it be next year? When will it be? And he was like, look, we'll do it as soon as we can. We'll go and try and get a venue quickly.
Yeah.
And so that feeling of like just wanting to be my husband was like so strong, and vice versa, that it was hard for us to say no to that, because like the limo was coming to our hotel that morning to pick us up.
So it was literally down to the wire.
Wow. Yeah. And then we just both went, do you know what, we'll do it for us and for our family. So when I got home, my sister was like, I'll ring around everywhere, I'll book you somewhere. She was so delighted. His mom was delighted. So we found a venue at short notice.
So where did you get married?
So here's the funny thing. We got married in Leixlip, in the it was the Leixlip House Hotel,
Or
Leixlip Manor.
Yes.
It's been Liffey Valley something or other.
Yes, I know that one. Yeah.
So that's where we booked. But my dad was born on the Mill Lane, which is where that... You have to drive up.
Yeah.
And I said, it's very serendipitous, or whatever the word is that it, like, of all the places that we could have got, that was the only place that was available. And when I said to my dad, I said, we're getting married up the Mill Lane. He was like, that's what
it's meant to be. It's meant to be. Now it's all coming together. Yeah.
So all of these little things kind of happened along the way. So we booked there for the November.
Yeah.
We started planning our wedding on a budget.
And so what was the time frame then between coming home from Vegas to actually saying I do?
3 months.
Right. So right down to the wire. So that was the official legal notice. Yeah. And you were like, 3 months. But you see, the thing about it is it can be done.
Yeah.
It like, you know, a venue can, if you went to a venue a week before a wedding, once they can get that food order in and drink order in, you're good to go.
It's like,
right?
It has to be a Friday.
But it's the legalities and it's just trying to stack everything else up.
Yeah.
So you managed to get a Friday, 3 months out. That was it. Everybody just pile in. We're doing it and join in. So what about the dress and everything like that?
So... Yeah, my sister again. The planner.
Who is this wonderful human? She should be here today. You are stealing her light.
She's come here. She's brilliant for planning anything. She's the person I go to for everything. I have this real.
She sees you calling and she's like, "Oh, what does she want? What am I organizing?"
I have like telephone fear of ringing people on the phone.
But for her, you're like, "What can she do?"
She rings everybody for me. Shut up! I'll ring them for you. So she says, "I know." She always knows somebody who knows somebody who got something somewhere.
Love that.
So she's like, I'm such and such got a dress and we'll go there and get it. And I said, grand. So we went. It was out in Baldoyle, I think it was.
Bridal Outlet.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
And I think I tried on two dresses until I found the one.
Yeah.
And it just, I think my fear was that I wasn't going to get something to fit me. I was a plus size.
So like going back, because I do remember there was a complete like lack in the market 20 years to that 15 year mark, whereas now we're seeing some brilliant boutiques like Jesus Christ. They're fabulous, purpose built, you know, curvy. That's all they do. And so like, how was that challenge when you were thinking, I need to find a dress, and particularly coming out with feeling, you know, after the previous relationship, those comments that were said to you.
Yeah.
How did that play when you went dress shopping?
Oh, it was a bag of nerves. Like I genuinely didn't think I was going to get anything. And I remember because Jackie said the girl that had got married had been plus size, and she said they did a lovely range.
Okay.
So that was the only place we went to. I said, I'm not going to go somewhere that I'm going to walk away feeling
shit,
terrible. Mm. And them to say to me, oh, we could, adjust this, or we could let this out, or we could do whatever. I wanted a dress.
And they're just not words you want to hear, because it's constantly reminding you that it's not fitting, you know? Yeah. So when you went in then to the bridal outlet, and it's funny because we had a bride in last week, she's getting her dress in the bridal outlet. And it's an establishment, you know? Yeah. So when you went in and you were trying on the dresses, like, did you have that moment where it was tears and it was just...
I think my sister did. No.
Where is she?
I know. Jackie, come back.
This was your wedding.
I think I was just, I'll go. And I remember trying it on and then just hearing them go, and I thought, okay.
It looks good.
This looks good because it fit me like to perfection. So obviously they didn't have a massive selection of plus
size. But what they did, you struck gold.
Yeah, and they were so good. They were so efficient. They were like, this one, no, that one, no. And this one I think would suit your shape.
So you let them kind of drive.
Yeah,
for you.
I didn't have anything in my head. Okay. I just said, if I put it on and I feel good in it, you know,
that's
I'll be happy.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
So picked it out, loved it, loved everything about it. And it was actually when they put the veil on me.
Oh,
that was when I was like,
that.
Okay, I look like an actual bride.
I know.
I felt...
And so many people say, I'm not getting a veil. And then you put that thing on your head and you're like, yeah, I'm a bride.
Yeah. Can you make it longer?
I just want something really, you know, simple, make it big and add bling. I am the queen.
Can I get the praying Mary on it? It's embroidered in now. My name, Gina and Carl.
Oh, go hell or go home. Yeah, exactly.
So it was when I put the veil on. So we had that in the bag. So the dress was done and we had a glass of champagne. We went away feeling really good, put a deposit on it. And then...
To even get it within 3 months.
Yeah.
Now you need a year.
Really,
like,
good.
Jesus.
But in the meantime, I found out I was pregnant. So... Again, like everything happening so
fast. I'm stressed. Like, Jesus Christ. One minute we're in Vegas. Now we're back home. We've got the dress. We're now booking into the Rotunda or Coombe or wherever.
The Coombe. So I found out I was pregnant and I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to be pregnant for my wedding. I won't be able to have a drink, you know, and all these things going through your head. And it wasn't that it was too soon. It wasn't, oh my God, what am I going to do? It was just thinking, oh, I have the wedding coming up.
And there's so much going on.
And I rang my sister and I was like, I have some news for you. And she's like, what? I said, I'm pregnant. She was delighted. Obviously, it's like, you're not going to be able to have a drink for your wedding now. And I said, it's very Irish thing.
Priorities are good.
I said, I know, but look, it's
that's fabulous.
It's fabulous news. Yeah. And so everybody was thrilled. My dad was thrilled. But I remember I was working on just at the bottom of Grafton Street. It was actually Hollis Street I was going to.
Ah.
And I remember going to the doctor to check in across the way and getting, you know, all the everything started to put me in, you know, to get me referred to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then one Wednesday I was in work and I just remember thinking, oh, I feel really, really unwell and this overwhelming pain in my stomach.
Oh, no.
Where I couldn't walk. And I walked down to the hospital and I said, can you scan me or something? And she was like, what's your dates? And my dates were all over the place because just come off
because you weren't doing this like planned pregnancy.
No,
like, so it was a surprise.
So I just didn't know. And she said, it might be too early, it might be just whatever, we'll just have to see what happens. And I said, no, I need you to check. And they wouldn't check me. And I remember going back to work and everything was fine then. I felt okay. And I said, all right. Maybe it was just
cramping and stretching.
Yeah,
and
I'd
all
never
of
been
that.
Pregnant before. Yeah, I didn't know what it was like. So I said, okay, well, maybe it's okay. Let's, you know, please, mammy, let everything be okay.
Yeah.
And then on the Friday, I was going to work on the train with Carl. And I just remember feeling really, really sick and saying, oh, I think this is morning sickness. Like, I think I'm going to go home. And he said, I'll come with you. I said, no, go on into work. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But when I got off the train, I just like started to fade.
Yeah.
I was like fainting. A man had to walk me up to my house and I got in and I just got into bed and I said, God, it's so bad and I just don't like this. And
So it wasn't right.
No.
Yeah.
And my sister
Jackie
was meant to go and meet her sister-in-law for lunch, but it was cancelled for whatever reason. And she says, I'll go up and see. I had messaged her to say I'm home. She says, I'll go up and see Gina. She knocked on the door. I didn't answer. She had a key. She came in and she went up and she found me almost dead on the bed.
What?
She said I was the colour of that.
And
was
you
great.
Don't remember that. You were just
I don't. I
so
just remember it. I was in so much pain and thinking, like, what's wrong? And being so naive. And so I was yeah. so I was
You're
young.
So young. Yeah.
And just thinking, this is what pregnancy is.
Yeah.
But she called an ambulance. Ambulance came, and it turned out I had an ectopic pregnancy.
I was about to say,
and
that,
it had completely
ruptured.
Jesus. Sorry. So I was internal bleeding, and I was.
You
I remember.
Thank God. They couldn't. Jackie came around.
Yeah, they couldn't get me to the hospital.
Yeah.
They had. They couldn't get me to the Hollis Street. They had to bring me to Blanchardstown, which yeah. is not a maternity hospital.
No.
And I remember just hearing your man saying, I don't care if I'm up on the verge. I need to get her yeah. to the hospital. And we can laugh about it now because me and my sister have a really great relationship and we're very funny together. Yeah. We're not.
And humor yeah. helps you get through those things as well.
And the paramedic was like asking me questions to keep me conscious. But I yeah. was fading into this light. I went deaf. Oh. My sight, everything went. I was literally gone.
You were gone.
And come on, come on. What's your name? What's your name? Her name's Gina.
You're like, Jackie, he's going, didn't ask you.
He goes, yeah, love, I know. Where'd you live? She lives in Leixlip. I know, I'm asking her. So he's getting real thick with energy.
Jackie, the one time we don't need you organising.
She goes, I thought I was just being helpful.
You're like, Jesus, Jackie, I'm dying here. Will you stop?
He goes, you shut up.
She's grand.
So anyway, got to the hospital and there was a big palaver going on. I needed blood transfusion, I needed emergency wow. surgery, I needed to be turned upside down to get blood back into me. Anyway, all I remember was being trolleyed out. So Carl at this time was told I was going to Hollis Street, so he was waiting outside Hollis Street
oh
for
my
me
God.
And in the meantime there had to be a change because the traffic was so bad
yeah.
they brought me to Blanche, so he doesn't know where I am. And I remember just the only time I remember being conscious was one. The guy who was taking my clothes off, he goes, have you got a good bra on you, love? I said, oh my God, why is it in bits? He goes, no, it's just in case it's a real expensive one. I'm going to have to cut it off you. And I was like, oh no, yeah, cut away.
I know.
I was like, I don't know what knickers are bra I have on me. My mother always told me.
I knew they should have been matching.
Shave my legs. My good knickers. But that's a really funny moment that I remember. And then I remember opening my eyes. And my dad was there. Like, I literally
wow.
was. And I said, Daddy, where did you come from? He was on his way to get measured for his suit for the wedding.
The wedding.
And he was passing by the hospital because he was living down in Carlo. And it was like, as I said, all these things just happen.
Yeah.
And he came in and he said, you're going to be grand. I said, my mum died when I was 17. I said, I'm just going to go and be with mummy now. And he goes, you're not Jesus Christ. You're staying here with me. And I just opened my eyes and I start laughing. I said, I'm only messing.
Oh my God. Why are you
so my brain is such
dark humour.
And here he is like, what's going on? I said, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. And then they wheeled me off and I woke up. And I was fine. I was grand. I was one of the most terrifying things to ever happen. Obviously, I'm grieving the loss of a baby, but I'm also celebrating that I'm still alive.
You're okay.
Yeah.
And you see, and I think that's the thing. So, when you've three kids, so you would have planned and would have gone, okay, I know what's to come to a certain degree because you go, okay, I'm going to get pregnant. So your head is
yeah.
already ahead.
Yeah.
Whereas you knew nothing.
No.
So even to know that's not normal, that pang there, that pain or that feeling faint, that's not normal. Mm. You know, it's just, wow, like what a whirlwind.
Yeah, so I had major surgery, so they had to remove my fallopian tubes and do other bits and pieces. So I had a really big wound and it was staples at the time.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember saying to them, what's the story if I was going to get into a wedding dress? And they're like, why, when are you planning on getting married? They thought I was like, the morphine, like, because I was like, give me more of that. And they're like, are you sure you'd be a beautiful bride? And I was like, I'm getting married in 7 weeks. And they're like, all right.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Will I be okay? Will I be able to like have my wedding? So that was my mind. And everyone's like, don't be worrying about your wedding. And I was like, no, it's,
I really want this. Yeah.
I really need this.
Yeah.
So I recovered. I was let out of hospital on Carl's birthday. So that was really nice. And we went home and we cried lots.
Of course.
And
yeah.
we laughed lots, and we were just so happy that I was there, because if my sister hadn't have come and found me, I wouldn't be here today. So, yeah, I remember then we were like full swing into this, because I was off work for a while and I was just recovering. So I had lots of time to plan all the things.
Well, when one door closes, you're like, right, game time.
So I remember
staples and everything.
I remember then I was like, okay, we actually never looked at cars. We never looked at, what are we actually going to eat on the night?
Yeah.
Wine, all of the things. And so it was
gave
my time
you a
then.
Lovely, like, you know, as stressful as weddings are, that gave you such a lovely thing to pull you out, because you could have felt sat at home and felt really shit.
So I had something to focus
on. You had something to focus
on. And look forward to.
Of course.
Yeah. So it was full steam ahead for the November wedding. So,
It was so much more special after all of that.
Yeah.
Wow. 100%. I said there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No. It was, I think, like, all the things, like, I actually didn't care. I wasn't a bridezilla. I wasn't a very fussy bride.
You had perspective
after such
a horrific thing to happen.
But even before, I didn't care what we had, who was going to be there. I just always remember, like, when my sister got married again, oh, Jesus Christ, is this about my sister?
Where is she?
She's the only person I have to compare anything to. But when she got married, my mum was still alive, and my mum and dad paid for the wedding. So it was very traditional, you know, the father of the bride and the whole lot. And my mother took control of everything, because she was very wise with her money.
Yes.
And didn't like the idea of, like, you know, splashing out for no, not for no reason, but
yeah,
for...
Yeah, but it had to weigh up. Yeah,
for
yeah.
unnecessary things. So I remember I was only 16 at the time. Our dresses. Remember my shoes. This is how savvy she was. She was like, you don't need a new pair of shoes. I have lovely shoes here, and they can wrap the material in your bra.
Oh, wow. That's
them.
New level. Yeah. That is new level.
So I reckon the shoes I was wearing were like 25 years old. She had them
wrapped.
I don't even think they fit me. I was walking down the aisle with my toes like this. But I was like, do you know what? I don't care.
Let it be.
So that's how it was. Now, it was a fabulous day.
Yeah.
Jackie had everything, you know, that she could have wished for her. She looked beautiful, and it was a fantastic day, but it was really controlled, and it was really...
Whereas this was really yours and Carl's wedding.
It was mine. We paid for it ourselves.
Yeah.
I didn't want my dad to have to pay for it. And he had a house, I had a house. We both sold them, so we had equity. And
Brilliant.
We said, rather than putting it all into a new house, why don't we take some of it and get married? Because if we put all our money into the house, we'll never get married. We won't have the money.
Because once you're in that mill, it's very hard. Yeah. You had money there ready to go.
I said it's now or 20 years time.
Exactly.
So I did it on a shoestring. I didn't, you know, they were like, would you like champagne? I was like, yeah, they can have a glass each when we walk in. Would you like
this? That is it.
I was like, no, we don't need that. We don't need that. So it was very...
You kept control, like, even though you had the money there from the house sale, you were just like, I'm not going to go down.
Got
this
a
route.
Nice car.
We are, but this is it. But you didn't have a long time to think about,
yeah.
And you didn't have that level of social media with all of the things and the bells and whistles.
Hi, I've got 250. No, I'm not like that at all.
Yeah. No, you were all set.
Yeah, it was old school, and it was like ringing people in the yellow pages. I remember that. So yeah, a nice wedding car, which is what we said we'd get. Our wedding singer cancelled the day before the wedding.
Look,
and we ended up getting a beautiful singer last minute. A friend of ours knew somebody.
And you see, these things go wrong,
yeah,
and you can always fix it.
Yeah,
there's, and I think that everybody worries about, like, oh God, what if something happens? There's always a way to fix
it.
Because you know, like, you're like, yep, grand, show up.
Okay, he's not going. Jackie, will you sing his song?
Jackie again, right? In you go, wheel her in.
She says, "I'll sing you." This is the relationship. Goes, I could sing. What's that song? I can't even remember. On something. And when we were kids growing up, she used to say to me, will you sing a song with me? We were mad. And I say, yeah, what one do you want to sing now, Jackie? And she'd say, we'd sing Christaberg in a country churchyard. Right? So she'd start singing in a country churchyard. And I never heard the song on the radio, because at the time you would have had to record it onto a tape. It's not going to come on the radio. I don't think Christaberg. And then she'd teach me the chorus, and we'd do this harmony. So she'd go, I'm going to go, ah. And you'd do the lower part. So she goes, I could sing Christaberg in a country churchyard for you. I was like,
it's well
perfect.
Rehearsed.
marked. I said, looking back now, I'm raging she didn't. It would have been absolute perfection.
But look, you're 17 years on, right? Yeah. And what a whirlwind. And I think just even hearing your story, it didn't matter about the time. You had everything that could be possibly thrown at you to test you. You were ready. Mm. But 17 years on, 3 kids later, successful business, working your magic everywhere. What one lesson have you learned from marriage that you would pass on to couples that are about to get married?
I suppose mine are always really like cliche things. It's like don't sweat the small stuff. Because I think like that we can get so caught up, especially when you have kids. I think when the kids came along,
it's a pressure pot.
I think what happened with us is that we never had time to actually just be a couple. Like we were both in our 20s.
Yeah.
A young couple having fun, enjoying our lives. We went straight from dating, marriage, kids. So Holly was born exactly 1 year later. I got pregnant on my honeymoon in Paris. And so that little time that we had together was so short.
Yeah.
So all we've ever known is being mammy and daddy.
Yes.
And
you grow up, like you have to think about who you were at 26 versus who you might be at 36, whatever it might be. Like you're just different people. So, you know, and when you don't have that time together to bunker down because you're just on mammy daddy route, it can be quite disarming.
Yeah, and stressful. Like, I mean, like every couple, we've had our moments. And like when the kids were small and he was out working, I almost resented that he was out having time, you know, and I was
because you're in that pressure. I can't even stop. Yeah. I can't even walk to the loo by myself.
And we'd end up killing each other.
I know.
Like having those moments. And then now looking back, I'm like, because I think we felt hard done by because all our friends were going out and they were having nights out.
Who's laughing now? Because they're all in the trenches and you're like, we are up from here.
we kind of had a bit of a few years where it was just like, oh, did we miss out? Did we, you know, and now looking back on it, no, absolutely not.
No, you wouldn't change a thing.
Not a thing. So, it's just like, you know, I don't have advice because everybody is so different. But what I would say is, like, first of all, if it's right and you know it's right, do it. Don't question it. Don't, you know, put it on the back burner and wait 10 years to get married. Like, you know, when you do
don't
get
waste
married,
time.
Yeah. And when you do get married, like, enjoy that feeling and like even 17 years later, I used to think, you know, you'd see me ma and dad like killing each other.
Yeah.
My dad would be like going out to work. And you think that's how relationships were, like especially in the 80s and 90s.
Of course,
like why does the people across the road, why does Margaret sleep in a separate room? Because she snores. And it was because they hated each other.
I'm thinking of the Father Ted, the John and Mary killing each other. How are you, Father?
But that was it. Growing up, so many people my mother knew, they all slept in separate bedrooms. And I used to be like, what's going on? She's like, oh, just he snores. And it wasn't. They were all either separated or just, you know. And
they had to just get on with it.
In my head, I think, God, we're going to end up in separate rooms because I'm terrible at snoring. And he's like, I'm pretty sure they just weren't together, Gina, but they couldn't afford to
move. My whole life was a lie. So that's the lesson. Don't end up in separate rooms. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Never go to bed in an argument. It's
never
one thing
we've
never ever done. And even like coming in the car there, like I swear I thought it was going to kill Carl because the traffic was so bad. Not his fault.
Yeah. But it is because he's just there.
Yeah. So he was thick. I was thick. And I got out of the car and I said, give me a kiss. And we kiss and that's it. Just always
nip it in the bud.
Yeah. Because then it just manifests into something ridiculous. And then I'm blaming him for something he did 16 years ago.
Remember that time. Gina, I'm not going to get on the wrong side of you because, you know, you bear a grudge, clearly. I know. Gina, thank you so much for coming in. That was just so lovely. And your story, thank you for sharing that. I think that's really going to resonate with a lot of people. And thank you for just following your heart. That's such a brilliant story.
Thank you so much.
Yay! Thanks, Gina.
You've worked hard since you arrived in the city, gained loads of experience, developed your skills. Everywhere you look, you see something you helped build. But now, you're looking to the future. And maybe you're thinking about where you come from. In Ireland, we need planners, carpenters, plumbers, roofers, engineers, architects, site managers, and more. We need you. With all your skills and knowledge, to help us build thousands of homes. You've built the world. Now come back and build the home that built you. For more information, visit gov.ie/buildingIreland. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.